Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her Son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, to the 50th episode about Fatima, this pilgrimage that we are doing to Fatima and the significance of Fatima in the whole 20th century. We just thought about how the 20th century developed. It was a century with three great wars, one cold, the others hot. The First World War, that killed around 12 million people and left so many injured. And then the Second World War, that killed 60 million. Well, during the First World War, we had a pandemic very similar to one that we are having now, that killed 50 million. At that time, we didn't know what a virus was. And then, apart from these wars, there were ideologies. The ideologies that came out of too much rationalism, Nazism, fascism, communism, like trying to change society with these ideologies. And all they did is killing millions of people. And we said that the atheists usually say that atheism is free, that you don't kill anybody because you are atheist, that you don't force atheism, but atheism was forced. It's still forced in China, was forced by Soviet Union around the globe, still somehow forced in Cuba, where they still, now the Soviet Union doesn't exist, and there is freedom of religion in Russia, but it looks like there is not completely in Cuba. They are in this militant atheism. They are more Catholic than the Pope. They are still enforcing it and against religion. So this was the 20th century. So against this 20th century came the intervention of Mary, the intervention of God. It was an asked intervention, but it probably was in the program of, it was both things. It was asked from here. Remember the letter that the Pope Benedict XV wrote to the bishops, so that to ask Our Lady to intervene in this world that was going mad. And indeed, Our Lady intervened. And two great evils, great remedies. And she came with the message of the gospel. There is no other message, because the gospel is the incarnate word of God, and it appeals to human nature, so it is forever the same, because human nature is not fashionable. It doesn't change from time to time. It's always the same, so the word of God is forever the same. And the only thing sometimes is partial parts of this world, we might forget them. And then that's these apparitions of our Blessed Mother are to remind us. And one thing important that we have in Mark first chapter, chapter first and verse 15, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news. So this is always truth. And somehow you could summarize the apparition of Fatima in this sentence. Do great evils, great remedies, with the same urgency as Jesus at the beginning of his ministry through Mary in Fatima in 1917, God intervenes directly and visibly in human history to redirect man to Christ, his Son. Mary helps and protects the agent of the gospel of peace and goodness and asks three children, Jacinta, Lucia, and Francisco, to offer themselves for the conversion of sinners, for the conversion of Russia, and for the peace in the world. If in Cana Mary intervenes and says to her son that they have no wine, which biblically means they have no joy. Wine is a code number, is a code name for joy. In Fatima, Mary says to her son, they have no peace. They have no peace and they need peace. They desperately need peace. So here we are. We have the three things that are the gospel. Conversion, penance, and prayer. Conversion, it's in Greek metanoia, that means change your mind, change your ways. And our ways have been too rationalistic. And when you are too rational, because reason is only a part of human nature, we have also a heart, we have feelings, not just reason. And reason without feelings, it's as bad as feelings without reason. So there was too much reason, and it came from a country that had lots of philosophers, Germany. They become too rational, and when you overdo in rationalism, you become irrational, because you become inhuman, you become cruel. And that's what it is, this Nazism, this ideology that is pure cruelty, killing people because they are not of your upbringing, because they are Jews or because they are gypsies or because they are crippled. And so because, you know, as you know, the Nazism killed also crippled people, because they are not as strong as you are. But, you know, not everybody is forever strong. Not everybody is forever strong. And so this is a nasty ideology. So conversion, change your ways, change your mind. When you change your mind, you change the way you behave, because our behavior comes from the way we see things, the way we see ourselves, and for believers, the way they see God. So the other two words are penance and prayer. So the three of them, the two girls and the boy, they convert themselves. Their life before was not the same as their life after. And so something has happened. This itself would be already a proof, because their lives were completely changed. There is a before the apparitions and there is an after the apparitions. They could not go back to their sheep just like that. Their life was completely, entirely changing, especially the life of Lucia, because she was the one that was going to live longer. She was the guardian of the gospel of Fatima, so to say. She was the guardian of the message of Fatima, and she did so till the end, throughout, because she died at the age of 95. So she lived throughout this century, the whole century, from 17, that she was around 10 years of age, till 2005, when she passed away, together with John Paul II, that they passed away months apart in the same year. Penance and Prayer are the other two works for that work in favor of conversion. Penance is to sacrifice yourself, is to offer sacrifices, the way the little shepherds were doing them. They were not looking for artificial sacrifices. They were just using the situations in life, the bad situations in life, the painful situations in life, to use them as sacrifices, to offer them as sacrifices, to turn them into sacred. And one of them, you remember, was Jacinta. They were in prison, and Jacinta was crying. She wanted her mother, and then the other kids remind her, you can offer that suffering for a conversion of the sinners. And she understood it, and then she said, yes, I do, I offer, and she stopped crying. So the same thing we can do, offering many bad situations that we encounter in our lives that can be offered for the conversion of sinners. And then the prayer. So these sacrifices was more of Jacinta doing. She offered also her late disease, and she suffered dearly. She suffered a lot. We will come to it later. And so she offered everything for the conversion of sinners. And in the end, she was even saying, with all this suffering, I probably must have converted many sinners, must have avoided them to go to hell, to be damned forever, because this was costly. This suffering was very severe to me. She would acknowledge that in the end of her life. And then the other little shepherd, Francisco, he was more dedicated to prayer. And he, because he was one of the 50 million that die of that pandemics, and he was devoted to prayer. He loved to be in prayer in front of the Blessed Sacrament, who he called the hidden Jesus. You know, that's interesting how these kids look at the Blessed Sacrament. They see, they believe there is a presence there, but the presence is not to be seen. So they call him the hidden Jesus. Jesus is hiding from our eyes, from our ears, but we know that he is there. And so he would spend hours in front of the tabernacle, whilst Jacinta and Lucia would go to school, because Our Lady of Fatima told them to go to school. But Francisco said, well, I'm going to die not long from now. Why should I go to school to learn why? So you go to school, but I stay here. And when you come back from school, you come back here, and then we go together. So you would spend the whole morning in the church praying. Okay, so these are the three solutions for this bad world. My Immaculate Heart will, in the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. That's what our Blessed Mother said in Fatima. So in a way, the 1917 Fatima apparitions can be an extension of Lourdes. You remember Lourdes was in 1858, when Our Lady appeared to Saint Bernadette as the Immaculate Conception. She introduced herself as the Immaculate Conception, and the dogma had been declared by Pius the Ninth 4 years before And of course, Bernadette didn't know that. So that was one of the proofs that the lady was appearing to Bernadette, because she had no means of knowing that there was a dogma about Mary, that was that she was conceived without sin. That was a very theologian thing, and that was preached many years later, and so Bernadette had no way of knowing it. Human beings are both mind and heart, and exaggeration, exaggerated rationalism. God is the Father, God is the Father and the Mother, and so this is the exaggerated rationalism goes together with male chauvinism. Remember that it was in the second half of the 20th century that feminism, that was preached by Jesus. Feminism was preached by Jesus. Jesus was the biggest feminist in all human history, the only one that looked at women and men as equals, because nobody, not before Jesus and not after Jesus, nobody looked at women and as equals to men. And we look at them as equal now, but not entirely, because the same job, even here in Canada and the United States and Europe, the same job done by men and women, men receive a better pay. And the job is the same. In the end, men receive a better pay. That's unfair, but that's what it is. So let us pause for a little while and then we come back.
Thank you.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. And we were speaking about Jesus as a feminist. That would be another program. But I want you to look at these, the way Jesus and Saint Paul, just to see how they are different. When they quote the Genesis, the book of Genesis, and the account of God creating human beings. There are two accounts from two different sources. There is one account that is Genesis chapter 1, that says man and woman, he created them, male and female, God created human being, and it says they are clearly female and male, he created them. So this is Genesis chapter 1. That means they are both equal in dignity. But then comes Genesis chapter 2. That says that man was created first, and then the woman was taken out of a rib, of a man's rib. Now, you see, quoting these how human beings came out to be, Jesus quotes the chapter first. It says, in the beginning, God created them, male and female, and both of them will be one flesh. That's what Jesus says. But then St. Paul doesn't quote this first chapter of Genesis when he speaks about how humans came out to be created by God. He quotes the second exactly, and even says men are superior. Men come first. Why are they superior? Because they were created first, and women were created out of men. This is St. Paul, you see? This is St. Paul. But Jesus, not like that. So that's one of the reasons, and of course I would, that we could do a program about that. So many other reasons where Jesus proves that he looks at men and women the same way, so he's completely egalitarian. But not the church, not St. Paul, and later on Thomas Aquinas grabs this test of St. Paul to say that men are superior, and so if men are superior, women should obey men, should be submitted and submissive to men. But that's not okay. But so our culture, not just Western culture, but all civilizations have been overly chauvinistic, rationalistic, and male chauvinistic. And of course, then you become cold and you become cruel. God had to send a woman, that is Mary, so that women would stop seeing themselves only as cooks and housekeepers, and would join men in the governing of the world's political destinies, so that they would bring to politics and to social life their sensitive and feminine hearts. Because social life and the world of politics and the world of culture was too malish. There was a need. Because the heart, as Pascal says, has reasons which reason does not know. And it is precisely these that we have been witnessing the second half of the 20th century in the Western world, and to a lesser extent in the rest of the world. Femininity and masculinity are like the two wings of a bird that flies with only one wing would be flying in circles. And indeed, in vicious circles, as humans have been flying vicious circles, because they have been flying with just a wing, too rationalistic and nothing of heart. repeating the same mistakes again and again, from generation to generation. We keep repeating the same mistakes because we fly with just one wing. Our hope is that with women side by side with men engaging in all cells of social life, the world will become more humane. The 20th century has been a century of too much brain and too little heart. Therefore, an inclusive world of all God's children, regardless of gender, race, religion, or sexual orientation, will undoubtedly be a better world. In this concern, the world is becoming better, but this is mostly in the Western world, and not entirely in the Western world, because the rest of the world, it goes very slowly. If you see how women are treated in India, how women are treated in Africa and in some Latin American countries, so there is still room for progress. The Immaculate Heart of Mary will triumph. An Immaculate Heart always triumphs when politics is governed with the heart, that is, with the generosity, compassion, mercy, and love, and not with only the brains, the reason. When this heart is pure and immaculate without the rot of corruption, it's free from malice and pesky self-interest, then there will be equality and peace in the world, because this heart will triumph over reason and its purity over corruption. Its effectivity over reason and purity over corruption. So this is the apparition of our Blessed Mother. It comes to restore the image of God that the Pope John Paul I tried to recompose, that said God is not just a father, he's also a mother. And sometimes he looks more like a mother than he looks like a father. And so just to reconcile us with the first image that primitive humans had of God, that God was a great mother. And because of that, nature is still, in all languages, a feminine noun. Another thing that were not important in those times is children. Children are not important. So the simplicity and the humility and the ignorance against rationalism and pride, people full of themselves and not of God, but full of themselves, God uses children to confound the proud and the arrogant of this world. Again, in Fatima, is Jesus saying, you must be like little children if you are to enter the kingdom of heaven. And indeed, these little kids, you know, they were ignorant as you can be. They couldn't read, they didn't know anything. And yet these three children are the chosen ones, with a message for the whole 20th century and for the whole planet, a message that is worldwide and a message that is century-wide, for the whole century. And, you know, some powerful people acknowledge that. I'm going to finish this program by reading the speech of the President of the United States, Ronald Reagan, on the May 9, 1985. He visited Portugal. It was the month of my ordination and the year of my ordination. President Ronald Reagan, my ordination precisely, in Fatima, President Ronald Reagan gave a rousing speech before the Assembly of the Republic of Portugal, before the Parliament of Portugal in Lisbon. In his speech, he spoke of the historic greatness of the nation of Portugal, and he also mentioned the Holy Father, John Paul II, and indirectly the apparitions of Our Lady of Fatima. so amazing speech, a speech that was pronounced to the Communist Party and the Socialist Party. The majority of the people in that assembly at that time, they were agnostic and atheistic. And this indeed is a completely religious speech. So it says Ronald Reagan, disbelief in human dignity suggests the final truth upon which democracy is based, a belief that human beings are not just another part of the material universe, not just mere bundles of atoms. We believe in another dimension, a spiritual side to man. We find a transcendent source for our claims to human freedom, our suggestion that alienable rights come from one greater than ourselves, that is God. So he is speaking entirely of God, and that all our rights and our human values, they, as I have said many times, is they are attributes of God. They are God's attributes. So that's why St. Matthew says, be perfect as God is perfect. So have these values, cultivate these values, and they become your attributes. They become your attributes as they are God's attributes. And so it continues the speech of Ronald Reagan. No one has done more to remind the world of the truth of human dignity, as well as the truth that peace and justice begins with each of us, than the special man who came to Portugal a few years ago after a terrible attempt on his life. He's mentioning John Paul II and the attempt on his life that was in 83, 13 of May, in St. Peter's Square in Rome. He came here to Fatima, continues the president. He came here to Fatima, the site of your great religious shrine, to fulfill his special devotion to Mary, to plead for forgiveness and compassion among men, to pray for peace and the recognition of human dignity throughout the world. Now, you must know one thing, that Ronald Reagan was indeed a Protestant president, but his father was Catholic, entirely Catholic. So he was very familiar with the Marian devotion because his father was devoted to Mary. And one of his brothers was also Catholic. So it just happened that the president himself was Protestant. Probably his mother was Protestant, but his father was indeed a Catholic. And so, continued the president of the United States in his speech on the 9th of May, 1985. When I met Pope John Paul II a year ago in Alaska, I thanked him for his life and his apostolate, and I dared to suggest to him the example of men like himself, and in the prayers of simple people everywhere, simple people like the children of Fatima. Now he speaks of the Jacinta, Francisco, and Lucia, there resides more power than in all the great armies and statesmen of the world. So you see that in these children resides more power than in the statesmen and the armies of the world. This too is something the Portuguese can teach the world, for your nation's greatness, like that of any nation, is found in your people. It can be seen in their daily lives, in their communities and towns, and especially in those simple churches that dot your countryside and speak of a faith that justifies all of humans' claims to dignity, to freedom. I would suggest to you that here is power. Here is the final realization of life's meaning and history's purpose, and here is the foundation for a revolutionary idea, the idea that human beings have a right to determine their own destiny. So it goes, the speech that Ronald Reagan, the President of the United States, spoke May 9, 1985. So a very religious speech where he puts Fatima, he puts the little kids, and he put John Paul II in the same speech. So that means that Our Lady of Fatima, the three kids, and John Paul II, they have to do something with each other. And of course, Reagan is also there for this 20th century. There are lots of texts that associate them, that say the Pope, the President, and Fatima. And you can find that in the internet, texts that deal with these three elements: the Pope, President Ronald Reagan, the Pope John Paul II, the President Ronald Reagan, and the three kids and Our Lady of Fatima. They all together did something, some intervention in the 20th century.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.